You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Looking ahead to a Saturday, and it's a big one. It's the William Hill St. Leger Day, the final classic of the season from Doncaster. Loads of great racing to take place and to look forward to. You can hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 20 past one with Dave Kellner, James Millman and Andrew Mount. They'll also be bringing you the racing from Chester, Lingfield and Musselburgh. There's Irish racing at this toll and Goran Park as well. I'm sure they'll fit that in where they can. But for now, here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby and I'm joined by Gary Capewell. Gary, how are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Yourself?
Yes, well, thank you. And, well, it's looking like it's going to be a great day on Tamworth tomorrow for William Hill St. Leger Day.
Yeah, it's obviously the last classic of the season, and it's a good renewal as well. I think it's a good bit better than last year's renewal, to be perfectly honest. And it seems to be that we've got quite a few horses in there that you can give a chance to, and you know, 11 in the lineup. But in terms of the, you know, their overall rating, I think the lowest is 104 maybe. But you know, you've got an Irish Derby winner in there in the shape of Capri. So yeah, it's a very strong renewal for me.
Well, we'll get on and talk about the big race in a minute. But first up, we want to hear about your nap selection for Saturday's racing. Where's that going to run?
Well, the nap will go in the opening race at Doncaster, the William Hill Portland Handicap. We'll go through a few of them, but I'll get the selection out first. The selection would be Vibrant Chords in this race, a winner at Goodwood back in May, finished second here the other day. That was over 5 furlongs. Obviously, it's quite an unusual trip. You don't get many races over 5.5 furlongs here in the UK. This horse finished an ever nearer second. Really, he held every chance, in fairness, when he was beaten by Desert Law on that occasion. But crucially, he's got a fairly low draw, 8 of 22. We've seen so far, certainly as we record this on Friday, that for me, a low draw has definitely been favourable in the races here. I mean, Tip to Win won on the straight course on Friday, was drawn in stall 2. Music Box was drawn in stall 6, but actually challenged over on the far side. And Heartache won the Flying Childers, was drawn in stall 1, and she challenged on the far side of Havana Grace. So I think from what we've seen so far, unless it changes dramatically, a low draw is definitely preferable. I mean, you look at yesterday's draws. Buccaneers, Volt 1 from stall 4, Althea from stall 2, Lawrence from stall 4, and Laugh a Minute from stall 3 in big fields. So for me, the draw's going to prove crucial. I think it's annoying, really, because I do quite like, for the race, Spring Loaded, but he's got, in effect, the worst of the draw in 22. He's right up against the stand side running grail. He caught the eye at Chester the other day over an adequate 5 furlongs running on, but I think 6 furlongs and Ascot are more of sort of his bag anyway, but he caught the eye as well. And likewise, Harry Hurricane, too, who didn't run his race in the Stewards' Cup last time out, finished third in this corresponding race last year off a slightly lower mark. He has to come into some sort of consideration. And, of course, Lancelot the Lad, we know that he can carry big weights in these races. He did so when he won the Stewards' Cup. He ran in Lizard Company after that, finished fifth, but Frankie Dettori gets back on him. So, you know, he's another that's got to be considered. And likewise, his stable companion, Stake Acclaim, who won at Ascot last month and finished third at Windsor in a decent race last time out as well. So he'd won at Windsor earlier on in the season. Obviously, 2 in the race for Dean Ivory. He has to get a mention. And, of course, Lexington Abbey as well, who finished third behind Acclaim to Stake Acclaim, at Ascot last time out. Ryan Moore's booked to ride stall 15. Might be a little bit of a concern, though. And the other one to mention is the 3-year-old Merlin, who finished third at Newmarket the other day, went up a good way in the weights after winning at Haydock back in July. And he's had a good season, this horse. He's won on quite a few occasions as well. And George Wood claims £3 off his back, and in effect, he might have the best draw in store once. So, open race, as you'd expect, but I like Vibrant Chords.
You mentioned the unusual trip of 5.5 furlongs. When taking a look at races such as this, would you read a lot into the trip? Of course, with sprinters, we see some of them do show a preference for 5 or 6 furlongs.
I suppose it is a bit of an unusual distance. You don't have any 5.5 furlong specialists, let's put it like that. I'd prefer a horse that travels well into its races that has got form over six, winning form over six preferably.
Well, that's what we're looking for in the Portland Handicap, the William Hill Portland Handicap, the opening race on St. Ledger Day, and a Vibrant Chords, the choice of Gary Capewell in that one. And I understand your next best runs in the big race itself, Gary, the William Hill St. Ledger, offers 3.35, of course.
Yeah, a race that down the years has thrown up some big price winners. Usually, well, no more so than last year, a horse that won the race simply because he outstayed them. There have been numerous other horses that have done the same that probably weren't the best horse in the race, but long term, but they've won the Ledger because they've stayed the best. And it's often a race that can often throw up some big priced horses that get into the frame again, you know, just simply because they stay better than anything else. The next best is Stradivarius. I know there's been a little bit of concern about this horse on the ground, but it didn't look too bad on Friday afternoon. Good to soft, good in places, and it's going to dry out all the time because I don't think there's any more rain forecast. Stradivarius, of course, won at Royal Ascot. He won the Queen's Vase on his penultimate outing. Obviously, that was quick ground. He won that by a neck, beating Count Octave. And, of course, it was good, albeit it was rain-softened when he won the Goodwood Cup. Obviously, he was getting a lot of weight from Big Orange, but he did beat Big Orange in that race when he was last seen. He's got the second highest rating in the field. Only Capri has a higher rating than this horse. Salmoner, obviously, is his forte. He stays particularly well. As I say, there'll be others that travel into the race well. This is a race, obviously, you know, it's the longest classic. It's 1 mile, 6.5 furlongs. Doncaster's a stiff track anyway. It's a long home straight, and you often find that they get racing a good way from home, and that's often why you do sometimes get some shocks in the race. Horses that stay the best get through to, and certainly get into the placings as well, as we've discussed. So stamina is going to be the issue. I mean, he's 7-1 or 15-2 with us. I think that is a fantastic price with the ground drying out. Obviously, you'd prefer it slightly quicker, but I don't see why he won't go on good to soft ground. So I think he's overpriced. Crystal Ocean, obviously, Sir Michael Stout has won this race with Conduit in the past back in 2008. Obviously, he won the Gordon Stakes at Goodwood. He was third in the Dante and the King Edward at Royal Ascot prior to that. He seems to be peaking at the right time. He's obviously been trained with this race in mind. Capri, we haven't seen since he won the Irish Derby. Obviously, he was sixth in the English Derby prior to that. And obviously, the form of the Irish Derby has taken quite a few boosts subsequently. Defoe's won all four of his starts so far this season, including when winning the Geoffrey Freer Stakes last time out. Obviously, Andrea Rezzani does particularly well here at Doncaster and obviously won a couple of renewals of the Ledger in years gone by. He won that race by 3/4 of a length at Newbury on his most recent outing. That was on soft ground. Prior to that, he'd won at York and Hamilton on good ground. He's obviously going to stay, I think. It was 1.5 miles, that race at Newbury, so he has to be given claims with the yard in good form. Coronet's obviously been well-backed, was very disappointing in the Oaks, but won the Ribblesdale and has finished behind Enable on her last two starts, including at the Ebor meeting 3 weeks ago, and Frankie Dettori presumably might have decided to ride her instead ahead of Stradivarius, but I don't see it that way. I obviously prefer Stradivarius of the two. The others, Raheen House is a horse who comes here having won the Bahrain Trophy, which used to be a particularly good trial for this race. He was fourth in the King Edward VII Stakes or running on quite well in the closing stages. Didn't I have to give him claims, but if there was the one that might well get into the frame at a price, I think it would be Rekindling for Aidan O'Brien. Won a Group 2... For Joseph O'Brien. Won a Group 2 at the Curragh on his penultimate outing. Finished second behind Order of St George last time out, beaten 4 3/4 lengths. Was never going to get to the winner, but obviously he's won the Irish Challenger by 9 lengths last time out. And crucially, I think stamina appears to be his forte as well. So he'll be the one at a price I'd put up, albeit I suppose 12 to 1 isn't that juicy a price, really. But I think Stradivarius is probably actually the one to beat. He's got the best single piece of form for me, so, and he's guaranteed to stay, so I don't see why he should be the price of the years. I know there's a little niggle about the ground, but I don't really see it that way. So Stradivarius would be the next best.
Just wanted to pick up on a little point about Stradivarius, as actually raised by Chris Pimlott on this podcast yesterday, of all people. Mm. He was talking about his chances in this race. And obviously he won the Goodwood Cup, and not many horses come into the St Ledger with
Group
1 winning
route,
form.
It's not a usual route, no. He and Capri are the only two Group 1 winners in the lineup.
The concern being potentially for Stradivarius, could he be a genuine stayer going forward, a cup horse perhaps next year? I mean, you don't really use the term not quick enough to win a St Ledger, but if you see the point, you know, maybe lacking some of the tactical speed.
Possibly, but I mean, you just go back and look at horses that have gone on to be cup horses having won this. Your likes of your Arctic Cosmos, Leading Light. Obviously, Harbour Law was placed in the Gold Cup this year as well, so I actually disagree with that to a certain extent. I think it's all about stamina rather than having that touch of class. I would rather have a horse that stays rather than that slight touch of class, because if you don't stay, you don't win. Simple as.
And Capri as well. He was being penciled in for the Great Voltage Stakes at York last time, of course, the race won by Cracksman in fantastic style from Venice Beach, who's 12-1 for this race in the end. But he was pulled out because of a slightly dirty scope, according to Aidan O'Brien. Would that be a concern for you heading into this race?
Yeah, I think it would. Obviously, he's had 11 weeks off. Ideally, they would have liked to have gotten a run into him, but that hasn't been possible. And we saw with Winter last week that, you know, it's you'd prefer an ideal preparation for it to win any Group 1. Winning a Group 1 is never easy, so the more in your favour, the better. Obviously, that's a negative with regards to his chances, but obviously he's trained by Aidan O'Brien, so that is obviously a huge, huge plus. But it would have to put you off a little bit, yes.
And finally, how much would you read into this trend people have been picking up on about Andrea Zaney and his ability to ride winners at a high level at Doncaster? Of course, he's had success in this race in the past, and he's also won the last four Racing Post trophies.
Yeah, so that's right.
How much would you factor in that sort of jockey form at the course when thinking about horses?
It's an advantage. It wouldn't be something... I don't see it as much of an advantage, let's say, as I would do if Jamie Spencer was riding something on the straight course at Ascot. Let's put it that way.
Okay, well, the price is at time of recording for this race. So Crystal Ocean is 7-2 favourite. Capri is 4-1. Defoe is 5-1. Coronet is 6-1. Stradivarius, the next best of Gary Capewell, is 15-2. Is 12-1 and bigger for the rest. It'll be really interesting to see what happens in this year's William Hill St Ledger Stakes, off at 3:35. As I mentioned, you can hear it live on William Hill's Racing Radio on Saturday. And Gary, thanks very much for your thoughts on the race and the rest of Saturday's action.
Pleasure.
On the podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.